Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, not retail, but wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, right now we are giving away $50 to Sasquatch Casino up in Blackhawk. First caller, you're going to get that. If you've won in the past, you are not eligible to win again while you're up there. You can see how you can win a Ranger Crew 900. If you don't want it, you're going to get nearly $10,000 in cash instead. Grand prize drawings coming up fast, July 24th and July 25th. Give us a call if you want that slot play card, 303-831-1340, 303-831-1340. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
All right, ESPN ranked all 32 teams by their position players, skilled position players like running back, tight end, wide receiver, and of course quarterback. Last year, the Broncos were 35th. That'd be tough. 31st. My bad. Yeah, they were ranked behind Alabama and Ohio State. They were ranked 31st last year. This year, it is 17th. This is what was written by Bill Barnwell. What looked like a cast of budding stars heading into 2020 did not pan out. The potential for a juggernaut, at least in terms of weapons, though, is still here. Sutton is back after struggling, and Sutton is back. Judy, after struggling with drops last season, should take a step forward. Javonte Williams is a second-round pick. They have former Vikings backup Mike Boone. He should push Gordon as well as Williams. You have tight end Noah Fant, a first-round pick who improved last season. But then you have Drew Lock on the team, as well as Teddy Bridgewater. So unless the Broncos get a breakout season from Drew Lock or a trade for Aaron Rodgers, we might not get to see just how talented their weapons really are.
Now, I think it's key to look at Barnwell's methodology. He talks about how he's only evaluating them on 2021 performance. So,
well, you can't evaluate Sutton.
Right. Well, you can't evaluate. You're evaluating based on what he did 2 years ago and projecting into this year. This is based on what he expects in 2021. And so, unfortunately for the Broncos skill position players, in a comparison like this, if the quarterback position is coming up short, it's going to bear itself out in what their performance is this year, because especially for the receivers and tight ends, more so than the running backs, what they do is quarterback dependent.
Yep.
And I think if we were taking this unit of players and we gave them to an Aaron Rodgers, they wouldn't be 17th. They'd probably be no lower than 5th or 6th.
Well, guess who's going to respectfully disagree with you?
Who?
Me. You get a chance to look at the list? Because I'm going to read it to you. Don't look at it now.
I'm there and it's too late. I'm at the article.
Too late right now. Tampa Bay's number one, Tom Brady. Dallas Cowboys, number two. They have Dak Prescott. He's very good, but he's not great.
But they're not evaluating the quarterbacks in this, right? This is just the skill guys.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. But you got to factor in the quarterback too.
Yeah, because in production, Dak Prescott's going to be more impressive than what the Broncos have at quarterback.
Tennessee, obviously, with Tannehill. Obviously. Number four, Cleveland. Baker Mayfield isn't a slouch, but he's not great. At least he's not great yet.
But they have Jarvis Landry and OBJ and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
I understand that. But then again, they are dependent on a quarterback, as you said, and I don't disagree with you. Kirk Cousins, I don't look at him as a winner, but he puts up big numbers. Kansas City makes sense at number six. But how do you like Carolina checking in at number seven?
Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, and Robbie Anderson are
look at their quarterback.
Because
what you said was you put Aaron Rodgers on the Broncos, right? Maybe the Broncos move up the list.
I would say
I don't know if they move up the list, because look at Carolina's quarterback.
This to me is too high for Carolina.
Well,
unless you believe that Sam Darnold's going to explode.
Right. San Francisco's number 12. Do you really believe in Jimmy Garoppolo? Because I could tell you one guy who doesn't believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. That's Kyle Shanahan. The Cincinnati
But they're productive.
I understand.
They're productive in the same way that in Minnesota they're productive with Kirk Cousins.
How about Ben Roethlisberger? You have the Steelers sitting at number 15. Ben Roethlisberger is nowhere near the same guy. So what I'm saying is, if Rodgers was put on this list, I am not so sure, looking at other teams who don't have necessarily great quarterbacks, that Rodgers would move the needle that far.
But I would argue right now with Ben Roethlisberger in decline that I would have the Broncos ahead of the Steelers right now.
That's fine.
For example.
How about the Cincinnati Bengals? They're ranked number 13. Joe Burrow had a great year till he ended his season with an injury. Yeah, they have Jamar Chase. He's a rookie.
The one thing I will say is that I slightly disagree with that just because I feel like the Broncos have a very good collection of targets. Now, the thing with the Bengals is this, and why you could argue for them being higher is the specific Burrow to Chase connection.
That's fine.
Because they're coming in not having to build chemistry.
How about the Giants checking in at 16 with Daniel Jones?
I think that's a miss.
Well, I think that's a miss too.
But Kenny Galladay is not bad, but again, the quarterback position is going to hold them back.
Let's look at the teams who have better quarterbacks than the Broncos do. Arizona checks in at 18 with Kyler Murray. Really? The Chargers check in at 20 with Justin Herbert.
A lot of questions about the tight ends, though, because they lost Hunter Henry.
Vegas checks in at 22 with Derek Carr. Matt Ryan and his Falcons are 23rd. So when you look at the quarterback position, I'm not so sure that the quarterback position is really factored into all of that. So getting back to what you originally said, put Aaron Rodgers on the Broncos, and maybe they're not sitting at 17. I would say they probably are. Because you look at teams with worse quarterbacks. I mean, shoot, look at Carolina. They just picked up a guy who you didn't want, but I did, in Sam Darnold.
But he also closes with the Broncos, unless they get a breakout season from a Drew Lock or trade for Aaron Rodgers, we might not get to see just how talented their weapons really are.
That's probably fair. How about Indianapolis at 28? Carson Wentz is an upgrade of wherever the Broncos have.
The one thing about the Colts, though, is they're not especially deep at receiver. T.Y. Hilton's getting older. But one thing you could argue for with the Colts is Jonathan Taylor. The second half of the season, Jonathan Taylor was probably one of the three best running backs in football. And if the Colts are smart, behind that offensive line that they've built, they're going to let Jonathan Taylor carry the load. And that will allow them to get by if Carson Wentz is still throwing a lot of picks. If Frank Reich can't restore Wentz to close to what he was in Philadelphia, then Jonathan Taylor may have that Adrian Peterson 2012 kind of season where they just say, okay, you figure it out. And he probably can carry the burden of that type of season if the need arises. It's funny to kind of go through this. There are some inconsistencities in kind of how the players are ranked here and how you're about putting the quarterback in with this. And the other thing with the Broncos is, as a group, their skill guys probably end up in the same place, whether it's Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, but then you have individual variances. Cortland Sutton probably has a bigger season with Drew Lock than with Teddy Bridgewater.
Why do you say that?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I think Drew is going to look to him downfield. He's going to take some more shots. That's more in Drew Lock's ballpark to kind of crank it deep to
Cortland
Sutton.
Then you know what? As much as I love
Jerry Judy, I think is going to be.
I got to tell you something.
It's clearly going to be more favored by Teddy Bridgewater.
I got to tell you something. As much as I love Cortland Sutton, if you are favoring Cortland Sutton over Jerry Judy, you're making a mistake. And I love Cortland Sutton. Jerry Judy is open all the time. He's faster.
He was open.
He gets open more.
He was open all the time last year, even without Cortland Sutton taking the pressure off. And that was the interesting thing.
So,
watching that offense last year was how Jerry Judy was a rookie and was the focal point of coverage, and he was still getting open.
So let's make the assumption. If Locke is the quarterback, Sutton will have more receiving yards. If Judy has Teddy Bridgewater, Judy probably has more receiving yards. Throw in Aaron Rodgers. Who do you think Rodgers favors?
Judy.
All day. Locke's making a mistake, and I love Cortland Sutton. No knock on him.
I think he's great at what he does. He's great at being that deep vertical jump ball outside threat. But when you're trying to get 10 yards on 3rd and 8, if Jerry Judy has cut the drops, and I believe he will cut his drop rate this year based on the work that he's put in and also how we've seen guys like Tim Patrick improve their drop rate with Zach Azani. Cortland Sutton improved his drop rate as well. I think if Judy does that, then more often than not, if you turn to Judy and he's got a sliver of a window on 3rd and 8, you're getting 9 or 10 yards and you're moving the chains. And that's why Jerry Judy, I think, especially if it's Bridgewater and they have that chemistry, I think Judy has not just an 1,100-yard season, but he has a 100-catch season as well, right, which we haven't seen around here in a long time.
Coming up after the break, Game 6 of the NBA Finals is tonight, and the game might be over before it has even started. Because you know what? The Suns are trailing in the series 3-2. They have lost 3 games in a row, and they have something so buried in their head going into this game that might lose it for them right there. What is in their head that is so disturbing to every guy on that roster, specifically Chris Paul, that has nothing to do with the Bucks? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking.
Ooh. Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about a place I discovered called Refresh Snoring and Sleep Apnea. My snoring was so bad, it was like a buzzsaw. It was keeping Mandy up all night. It was keeping up my daughter up all night, who sleeps in the next room. I went to a place similar to this about 5-6 years ago, and the mouthpiece that I put in was so uncomfortable, I just stopped wearing it. And obviously, that's not convenient for anybody. I mean, I guess suppose I had a choice. It could be painful for me or painful for the other people. And, you know, truth be told, I couldn't take it anymore. It was just awful. So went to Refresh Snoring and Sleep Apnea. My buddy Dr. E, and I got to tell you something, he gave me a mouthpiece that I can honestly say is comfortable. And no one has heard me snoring since I've started using it about 3 weeks ago. The technology is so much better than it was 5-6 years ago that for me, it knocked it out the first night. So if your significant other is snoring, if you are snoring and you're keeping people up, I highly recommend you talk to my guy, Dr. E, at Refresh Snoring and Sleep Apnea. Go to refreshedsleep.com. That's refreshedsleep.com. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155-star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
Okay, May, so it's Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight. Suns and 4 guy could turn into Bucks and 4 guy, as in 4 wins in a row. And right now, the Suns have something so buried in their brains that they might lose before they even step on the court. Scott Foster will be the crew chief for tonight's game. In the last 12 playoff games, he has refereed with Chris Paul. Chris Paul's team is 0-12. In the first round of the playoffs, after a loss in Game 3 to the Lakers, a game that Foster refereed, Paul alluded to his records in games called by Foster, saying, if I was a betting man, 11 games in a row, yeah, all 11 losses in a row. The latest loss, when Foster was the referee, came in Game 3 of the NBA Finals when the Bucks blew out the Suns 120-100. After that loss, Phoenix head coach Monty Williams criticized the officiating, certainly pointing the finger at Foster, talking about the lack of free throw attempts, saying, quote, I'm not going to get into complaining publicly about fouls, just not going to do that. But you can look. We had 16 free throws tonight, and one person had 17, and he was referring to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Do you think this is in the Suns' heads that if the calls aren't going their way, they're not going to be able to dig themselves out of it?
I think it might be. And it's funny, when I saw this and saw the record that Chris Paul has in games where Foster's referee.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
The Suns have won a game in this playoff series with Foster being the referee.
But Chris Paul wasn't out there.
But Chris Paul was not there.
Right. It reminded me of, you know, the referee in the NFL, Bill Vinovich?
No.
Okay. The Broncos at one point lost 7 consecutive games that he officiated, and teams quarterbacked by Peyton Manning went 0-6 when he was the referee. Think about that. Mm-hmm. What the record was for teams quarterbacked by Peyton Manning over the course of his career. And yet when Bill Vinovich was the referee, 0-6, including the Raheem Moore Ravens playoff game of January 2013. And you sometimes wonder if with certain referees, there's just something there when you see that sort of anomaly. Is it, you know, is it that this guy had a bad experience and isn't going to see things a certain way? It's crazy. But seeing Scott Foster in this game, yeah, you have to say that this hurts the Suns, unless it's the whole flip side of it, saying, oh well, they're due to win a, you know, Chris Paul is due to win a game when Scott Foster is the referee. Maybe not. Because as we saw, Peyton Manning, he never won a game that Bill Vinovich refereed.
Right. Well, it's in their heads.
It is.
And it's kind of sad because, you know, listen, if you have a team that you root for, there's always one referee that you hate. Or there's one announcer that you hate. Like the Broncos fans hated Phil Sims. Mm-hmm. Hated him with a venom.
Did you understand that?
No.
Neither did I.
I didn't get that one bit.
I didn't either. I mean, I think it is that, oh, he wasn't like relentlessly positive about right. The Broncos. I'm like, hating Phil Sims is like hating wallpaper.
Yeah. Would you like to see, would you like to see a game 7 knowing the Suns could still win, or would you like to see the Bucks end it tonight?
I admit I'm kind of rooting for the Bucks in this series, so I'd like to see them end it tonight.
I'd like to see them end it tonight too, but selfishly, I don't want to see Phoenix win.
What do you have against Phoenix?
What I have against Phoenix is their road to get here. No Anthony Davis, no Kawhi Leonard, no Jamal Murray. They had a break for a while with no Giannis Antetokounmpo. And by the way, that's going to spin me off into another comment. Generally speaking, you need 2 future Hall of Famers on your roster to win a championship. Generally speaking, Kawhi didn't have it in Toronto. Okay. But generally speaking, you do. And Giannis, because I don't think Middleton's going to the Hall of Fame. Drew Holiday's not going to the Hall of Fame.
They're pretty good players, but they're not Hall of Famers.
They're not, I mean, I'm sorry. I'll put it to you this way. Do you look at Holiday and Middleton as top 15 players in this league? Because I don't.
I look at them as like top
25, top 20.
Yeah,
maybe.
Exactly.
20, fringe.
25 to 30.
There you go. So then you can make, if that's the case, when you look at past champions, generally speaking, outside of Kawhi with Toronto, generally speaking, you need 2 stars. Forget about Hall of Famers, 2 stars. And Antetokounmpo has carried the load. What he has done doesn't happen very often in the NBA if he goes on to win a title.
How?
Because generally speaking, people would look at the Suns and say, you have Chris Paul, future Hall of Famer, still playing at a high level, although it feels like the bowling ball has fallen off the table with him.
Very recently, literally like in the last week, it seems like.
And then you have Devin Booker.
And then DeAndre Ayton is, I think, that guy that settles in as a top 20 to 25 player.
Right. I'm not saying that Antetokounmpo is a one-man show, but it's him and everybody else. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Kobe with Pau Gasol. Mm-hmm. Pau Gasol is a really good player, but he was never really top 15 throughout
his career. Did you consider Scottie Pippen top 15?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'd consider him top 10. Because he was great on both ends of the
floor. And that was the thing. It was never going to reflect with Scottie Pippen's per game scoring average.
Scottie Pippen is one of the most underrated players in NBA history because he played both sides of the floor.
He had a great all-around game.
He was unbelievable. I love Scottie Pippen as a player. Absolutely loved him. He revolutionized the term point forward.
Didn't they win?
Just like Dirk Nowitzki revolutionized the term stretch four.
Didn't they have one of the seasons without Jordan? They still won 57 games with Pippen basically carrying him.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Let's put it this way. That ain't happening with the Bucks. If Giannis isn't playing, they're a 40 to 42 win team in an 82 game season. By the way, one thing with the Bucks. They haven't had to deal with as much in terms of teams being shorthanded, but they did get three games of that first round series or second round series against the Nets without Kyrie Irving.
Sure. James Harden was banged up too.
One thing that you can say though is when the Nets were at full strength, the series was 2-2.
Right.
So it's not like it all of a sudden went from they're losing every game to they win every game. With the Nets at full
You can
strength.
Make the case if every team was healthy, the final would have been the Lakers.
But they got the Hawks at full strength.
Yep.
And beat them. Well, for a while, until Trae Young got hurt, and then and then kind of had to try, he was trying to will his way back on the court.
Right.
But you can argue justifiably that the Bucks' road, while aided by injuries, wasn't aided to the same degree as the Suns. With the Suns, it's like, without Anthony Davis, without Jamal Murray, and then in the conference finals without Kawhi Leonard, it was like
the
seas parted
for
the Suns, whereas the Bucks still had to navigate. They still had to navigate against Kevin Durant. They still had to navigate a team that had Trae Young shooting lights out.
You and I had this conversation yesterday. Apparently, there was a guy who bet $4,000. And how much would he...
Or was it $900?
He bet $900, he would have won how much? Like
$11,000.
No, he would have won $40,000.
Right.
If the Suns won the championship. So, whoever he bet with offered him a hedge and said, we'll give you $11,000 right now with the Suns up 2-0 and with Giannis injured. The guy took the $11,000 on the $900 bet. I'm guessing right now he's glad he took the $11,000.
I would have as well. I mean, you're talking about making literally 1,000% profit.
I understand, Danny. What would you have done? And again, I'll set the table.
I'm conservative with this stuff. I'm politically liberal. I'm conservative with betting.
Okay, you bet $900 on the Suns to win the entire thing. If you win, you make $40,000. Whoever you bet with, they offered you a hedge. They'll give you $11,000. But when they offered you the $11,000, the Suns were up 2-0 in that series, convincing wins, and Giannis was hurt. Would you have let it ride or taken the $11,000?
I've never cashed out in FanDuel, and I probably wouldn't have cashed out on that one.
I don't think I would have cashed out either. Of course, you and I would both be regretting it and dying over that decision.
But hindsight's always 20/20.
It is. But you know what? The smart money back then said Chris Paul was not going to fall on his face and Giannis would suddenly get healthy with, a hyperextended knee?
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people saw that, plus the Suns were up 2-0.
I am fascinated to see what we learn about Giannis's injury once once right. this series ends, and if he was playing on something more serious than anyone realized.
Like we learned about Tom Brady, he played with a fully torn MCL.
Which is putting the Bucs in some trouble because now it's, they didn't report the injury.
Right, and by the way, apparently Tom Brady in Super Bowls has been far more injured than previously reported. Far, far, far more injured. Coming up after the break, Nick Saban, Alabama's head coach, said that his new quarterback, Bryce Young, has already approached ungodly numbers because of the name, imaging, and license. How much is Bryce Young, who's barely played, set to make? This is kind of surprising. I think it's surprising to me. That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
An ambulance comes howling right through the center of town, and one blinks an eye and I look up to the sky.
This sounds like Bob Dylan. Is this Bob Dylan?
It's not.
Sounds exactly like him.
It's Jake Bugg.
Here's the interesting thing about Bob Dylan, who I'm a fan of. I've seen him in concert more than a few times. He was a brilliant lyricist, and you can never understand a word he said. Hey, dangling blue. Right? You're like, what? What did you say?
I mean, there were some lyrics you understood, like, everybody must get stoned. Right? The silence. Yeah, that's just great for radio, by the way. The silence being deafening. Was that a bad impression? Yes, it was.
Apparently, that's what your mind is on right now. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
All right, Nick Saban said today that his new quarterback, Bryce Young, has already approached ungodly numbers, what he's receiving for name, image, and likeness, saying it's almost seven figures. Nick, it takes a lot of chutzpah to say that somebody else is approaching ungodly numbers when we look at your salary, but I digress. Do you think Saban is putting out this out there strategically as if to tell recruits, this is what you can get if you come to Alabama?
A little bit, because Nick Saban, I think, kind of like Bill Belichick, there's always kind of a calculation to it. And here's the thing with Bryce Young compared to, say, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, Sam Howell at North Carolina. Those are premium players already on NFL draft radars, Heisman candidates who have been starters for at least 1 year.
Right.
Bryce Young is just stepping into the lineup for the first time.
But who is he playing for?
Alabama!
Exactly. What Nick Saban is saying here is that you play for Alabama, the gravy train is going to start rolling before you get on the field.
Right.
That's what he's saying. And that's
why you got to beat out like seven other guys. That's the thing.
But
the competition is fierce.
But every kid believes they're going to come in and be that guy.
Okay.
And that's what recruiting is about. And that's why you end up seeing, inevitably guys transferring from Alabama and still landing somewhere in the Power Five or at worst in the American Conference, because they're still quality prospects. And they usually end up starting where they go to play at like a UCF or a Wake Forest or wherever.
Okay. Would you rather potentially win a title at Alabama, get $1 million per season in endorsements, or get $1.5 million and go to Washington State?
Oh. This is actually crazy to say. I think I'd rather go 1.5 Washington State.
I would.
You know, not
all day.
But here's the
thing.
Four-year
starter, that's an extra $2
million. Well, there's another thing that comes into play is that if you're a great player at Alabama, they've had a lot of great players. So there's a lot. So in terms of down the line, let's say you never play a pro snap. If you're a legend at Alabama, you're one of many legends there.
Not a quarterback.
Right. Well,
not a quarterback. Joe Namath. Yes.
Kenny Stabler.
Okay, and then we have Tua Tagovailoa.
Richard Todd played in the pros for a while.
Oh, please, give me a break. Now, if you are talking about cornerback, if you're a defensive player, you're a linebacker, maybe you're a running back, yeah, that's a long list. Mm-hmm. I'm with you there.
But the thing is, like, at Washington State, if you're a great player, you're more of a unicorn. And you can basically go live your entire life being whoever, you know, being the star. It's like if Ron Dayne had gone to Alabama and been a great running back and won the Heisman Trophy, he'd be marketable, but not to the same for life, but not to the same degree of Ron Dayne at Wisconsin, as the only Heisman winner that they've had in the last 60 years, you know, are arguably the biggest legend in the history of that football, in the modern history of that football program. If Russell Wilson had never made a dime in the NFL, he probably would have made a lot of money being Russell Wilson, Wisconsin legend.
Right.
Because, again, it's a good program, but you're more of a unicorn there than you are at Alabama.
Right.
And so there are fewer other fellow alums competing for that money over the course of your lifetime. So that's what I'm thinking about. I'm not just thinking about the money you get right now. I'm thinking about if you're a great player, what you make for the rest of your life. You would never have. There are going to be, believe it or not, there are going to be college players that are amazing on that level that don't do diddly poo in the NFL. And they
What does diddly poo mean?
A diddly squat. It's the way that.
What does that mean?
It just means nothing. It means he did nothing. But diddly poo was one of.
I need a definition.
It was one of Jim Mora's great rants. The next day, he quit the Saints after he had his diddly poo rant when they played Carolina back 25 years ago. But kind of the original point of this is that there are going to be, now with NIL, you're going to see players that are great in college, but the skills don't necessarily translate, especially
like Heisman Trophy winners.
Yeah, we see it. We see it at quarterback all the time, that a great quarterback in college can't make the transition, but now is going to be able to make some money. I mean, you can just go through a great example. Mackenzie Milton at Central Florida. Remember, doing not necessarily a pro prospect, but was playing at an ungodly level, and then he got hurt. Mackenzie Milton coming along today would have made some money and probably would have made more money beyond that, being a legend there. But now because he came along a few years too soon, he didn't have that opportunity before he got injured. Someone like him, even at a UCF, probably would have banked $500,000 to $750,000 a year for being a quarterback at that level.
Andrew Brandt, longtime NFL insider and
former Packer executive.
Former Packer executive, putting this out on Twitter a little while ago. The Packers offering Aaron Rodgers more money, more years, more guarantees, whatever, doesn't really change things. Those upgrades will all transfer to the new team upon a trade, which I think will happen in 2022. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
The Mariners are in town to face off with the Rockies at Coors Field. Also, we'll talk about another disgustingly high number earning in the NCAA. That's all coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I'm not going to necessarily call it breaking news, but I just want to add on to something that we talked about in the previous hour of the show, where it looks like the city of Oakland is not going to pony up the pony up enough money to satisfy the A's to keep the A's in Oakland. Mick Akers, who writes for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, is reporting this. Just chatted with A's president Dave Cavall. He said he'll be in Las Vegas for meetings Wednesday and Thursday with owner John Fisher and team architect in tow. Plan to meet with casino owner Phil Ruffin, who owns a plot of land on Sahara, which is a casino, and Las Vegas Boulevard. And the wheels are starting to turn fast.
Now, what's interesting is that's different than the development that's being talked about next to Allegiant Stadium, right?
Sure.
Because it's on the strip, if it's at Sahara and Las Vegas Boulevard. But this is the sort of thing that's going to come into play. There are literally going to be multiple possibilities.
Correct.
Competing to build a ballpark. You might as well start printing the Las Vegas A's merchandise right now, because I think this is going to come together pretty quickly.
All right, time now for Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it.
Just in case you missed it is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, the Seattle Mariners playing the Colorado Rockies tonight at 6:40 p.m. Mountain Time. The Rockies are 1-1 against the Mariners so far this season in their only two games they've played, and they only have two games left against them these next 2 days. Marco Gonzalez on the mound for the Mariners and Herman Marquez for the Rockies. Rockies 1.5 run favorites. Do you like the Rockies to win by 2 runs or more?
I like them to win, period. But yes, by 2 or more with Marquez at home. This is. I'm not going to say anything is easy money in terms of gambling, but this is a bet that I think is a pretty solid one. Is Marquez going tonight at home against the Mariners?
I will follow you on that one.
So hopefully you're not following me over the cliff.
No, I hope not. But I'm not going to bet on it anyway. I'm not a big sports gambler, but I do bet with FanDuel, and every once in a while put on a bet that I think I can win.
Yeah.
Just in case you missed it, NCAA President Mark Emmert made $2.9 million during the 2019-2020 fiscal year. While pandemic-related closures caused the organization's revenue to drop by over 50%. Now, it is worth mentioning the NCAA expenses were also down by almost 40%, but Emmert making one of those ungodly numbers that we talked about in the last segment for his salary. With the new name, image, likeness rules, do you expect the demand for sponsoring NCAA events and the leagues as a whole under the NCAA umbrella to shift somewhat to athletes? Or will those top-level sponsors still just be sponsoring college football, college basketball, instead of individual athletes with specific programs?
I think the schools are going to be hit hard. We talked about this about a month ago. I'm going to use Pasta J's as an example up in Boulder. They sponsor CU Athletics. Would they rather sponsor a player or give money to the athletic department?
Now, money to the athletic department means that you get things like tickets and suites and that sort of thing back. But it's interesting that...
But you also get the player to endorse you.
And literally, you're going to have players competing with the schools for which they play for sponsorship dollars effectively.
Right.
This is something really fascinating. Now, that being said, the schools that are smart on this, to what degree they can, they're going to find ways to kind of bring it all together. And I'd say that the ones that have prominent programs, Alabama football, Duke, North Carolina basketball, I think these are going to be the programs that kind of figure things out first.
Just in case you missed it, the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association have agreed to a play-in tournament format for the 2021-2022 season. That season, starting in the fall here, will be an 82-game season, a full NBA season. Do you like the decision to keep the play-in tournament, and are there any changes you would make after seeing how things played out going into this year's playoffs?
I love the play-in tournament. Keeps more teams, more fan bases engaged to the end of the season. And I thought the games, there were some blowouts, but I love watching the Warriors-Lakers battle it out for a spot. It was enjoyable. Bring it back.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, Masterpiece Roofing was recently voted Denver's best roofing company. And you know what? With all the hail we've gotten over the last 5 weeks, hopefully you have not been hit. But if you have been hit, I cannot recommend Masterpiece Roofing enough. Their customers love them. Nearly 100 five-star Google reviews. Call for a free roof inspection today and see how Masterpiece can get the insurance company to pay for your roof. You're giving all that money to the insurance company. Let Masterpiece Roofing tighten the screws on your insurance company so they can pay for everything. So whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding, remember, all those things can be damaged by hail as well. Let Masterpiece take the project and make your insurance company pay for it. Go to masterpieceroofing.com. Alex and Danny, great job again today. Same with you, Mace.
You too, Eric.
Well, thank
Good
you.
Show.
Well, I'm going to try and do better tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can.
No sense in hiding all of yours. You gave up on your dreams.